I'll speak again this afternoon with the Lord's help and blessing from the word in the first book of Chronicles, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. What a great thing it is to have God's blessing. Whatever else we might have in life that's distressing and trying and perplexing and painful, but all to have God's blessing. To have God's blessing in our heart, in our life. To have God's blessing when we come to the end and heart and flesh pale, and mortal life will cease. Oh, to have God's blessing in our last hour and then beyond. Oh, to have God's blessing forever and ever, to be filled with it, world without end. The very thought seems overwhelming, doesn't it? The greatness of this one consideration, to have God's blessing. For, as one said in the scripture, I can't think who for the moment, I wot that those whom thou dost bless are blessed. We often speak of being blessed. We often pray to be blessed. And we sometimes, and I feel quite honestly, wish one for another that the Lord would grant his blessing. May God bless you. Is a good feeling to express, if we feel it. And yet, when we've done and said all, how far God's blessing extends beyond all our apprehensions of it. Oh, to have God's blessing. And I felt as that hymn was being sung, well, if one hymn, I think, could express my own feelings, what I might call my normal state spiritually, and I'm not particularly uplifted nor particularly depressed, I think that hymn just about expresses it. That hymn and this text. Now, I won't say for certain that Jabez himself may have meant all that now we see in this prayer. It's difficult to say, because we know nothing else about this good man beyond this one reference, just this one prayer. But still, I feel, even if Jabez, living in that old dispensation, when gospel truths and blessings were not so clearly manifested, and perhaps even by the godly not so clearly understood, still we can see in it now, reading it in a gospel light, a very comprehensive and blessed feeling. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Now, I spoke this morning of one consideration that would constitute a real blessing, and that is to have the forgiveness and pardon of sin really applied to our hearts in the power and blessing of it. That is to be blessed indeed. Mind you, a child of God, even though he may not enjoy that blessing, or not to the full, or not for a long time, still he's in a good place. Now, we must not measure our spiritual state altogether by the degree in which we're spiritually blessed. For to have spiritual life, as I said this morning, is a great matter. To be alive to God, to be born again of the Holy Spirit, to be given repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth and faith to believe in Jesus Christ, that's a great matter. But there is such a thing as being blessed with a pardon of sin. But now this afternoon I want to speak on one or two other matters and follow this line through the text as far as I may be able. My friends, what a blessing if the Lord would bless us indeed with it, is to know and experience more of the love of Jesus Christ. That love that surpasses knowledge and yet does not surpass experience. It surpasses knowledge in the degree of it, but not experience. There is such a blessing as having the love of Jesus Christ made known and shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that is to be blessed indeed. But I'm afraid it's often with us like this. I see from far thy beauteous light. We get glimpses of the love of Jesus sometimes in the light of the gospel, sufficient that we can perceive, oh, such a blessedness of holiness, such a fullness, such a sweetness in the love of Jesus. We see it so, and the very sight affects us in some measure. But oh, to have that love brought into our hearts, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, filling us with its sweet fullness. Oh, love divine, how sweet thou art. When shall I find my willing heart all taken up by thee? I pain, thirst, long to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. And now we may sing that verse sometimes and yet enter comparatively little into it, though that blessing comes. If that love comes freely into our hearts, nothing hindering it, that is a blessing. Now pray for this, my friend. Pray for this. And I would say this. You may seem to pray for this sometimes with much ardency, and yet it doesn't come. You'll say, I feel sometimes my heart really drawn out to the Lord, that he would fill me with his love, but it doesn't come. Well, now I'll tell you this. It may come when you're not praying for it. The Lord has a strange way of blessing us sometimes. And when that love comes, it just comes. It just comes. So freely. Oh, so sweetly. Love is a blessing. It's a blessing to have any love to Jesus Christ. But oh, a greater blessing to know his love in our own hearts. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and to be filled, and I think that is to be filled, with all the fullness of God. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Is that our heart, our feelings? Oh, that thou wouldst fill my heart with thy love, that love which is holiness, purity, life, everything. What a blessing it is, my friend, when the Lord is pleased to impart to us a sweet and powerful sense of that peace of God which passeth all understanding, that it may keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And when the Lord, speaking to his disciples that same night in which he was betrayed, spoke so much about that peace, I've often wondered how much they felt in their own hearts of it at that time. My peace, he said, I leave with you. My peace. Not such peace as the world gives, nor anything else that the world gives. But I give you peace. I've often wondered how far his words at that time conveyed that peace itself. For the disciples were very soon in sore trouble and distress. But whether it was so that night or not that they enjoyed that peace, the time came when they did, and the peace of God filled their hearts and minds. Oh, it is a blessed peace, an inward calm, a positive peace. As I've sometimes said, it isn't a negative peace. It isn't just not having any trouble, for you may have it and feel it and enjoy it when there's much trouble. It isn't the absence of trouble. It isn't peace because there's nothing to upset our spirit. It's a peace that controls, fills, passes all understanding. Oh, someone may say, I wish he would bless me indeed with that. I wish he would speak and impart that heavenly calm to my soul, give me really to know that I am at peace with God through Jesus Christ, and enjoy that peace that he has made by his precious blood, proclaimed in his blessed word, and conveyed and applied by his blessed spirit. Well, I wish we could enjoy this peace more. There's so much to distress and trouble and burden, and the Lord hasn't promised that our life shall be free of such conditions. On the other hand, he has plainly indicated that our path will lead through very much of tribulation. He has balanced that word, in the world ye shall have tribulation, by another, in me ye shall have peace. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed with the peace of God in my bosom. And then again, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Some might feel one, it would be a real blessing to me if the Holy Spirit would but confirm my hope that it is well and that I am really a child of God. For I doubt whether a child of God can reason his assurance out of the Scriptures, even though he may have Scriptures for it. I doubt if he can reason it out of the Scriptures. At least I think a much more soul-satisfying way is for the Lord to impart assurance as a rich blessing to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You may say, oh, if he would but say to me, I am thine, that would be a rich blessing to me. If he would assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, if the Holy Spirit would bear witness with my spirit that I am a child of God in such a way as would cause my very heart to say, Abba, Father, without any labor or fear or difficulty, for it is written, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. To be able really, feelingly, to say, thou art my Father, God, is a rich blessing. I know that with regard to all who believe in Jesus, it is true, doubtless, thou art our Father. If you believe in Jesus Christ with a living faith, doubtless, God is your Father. But still, to have the sense of it by the Holy Spirit, to have a Father's love in the heart, that is a rich blessing. Well, one might continue on this point, because it would, of course, include every gospel blessing, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. But I only mention one more, because I want to come to the other parts of the text. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. What with? More communion with Jesus. More fellowship with the Son of God, a closer sense of being one with the Lord. As it is written, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And perhaps especially your heart might go to one particular of this fellowship with Jesus. There are many, but here is one, the fellowship of his suffering. You may say there's something there. I feel I haven't yet really been blessed yet. Well, the Lord can bless you indeed. Now I do feel that to be blessed with fellowship with Jesus Christ, and especially in his suffering for us in the garden and on the cross, oh, that is a blessing indeed, if there is such a thing. For now I pass on. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I just pointed out you some things to pray for, to desire, and that God does indeed impart. And then the text goes on, and enlarge my coast. Now here again, exactly what David meant by the enlargement of his coast is uncertain, because we have no other instruction concerning this good man. Another translation of the original reads, that thou wouldest enlarge my lot, or enlarge my portion. But taking it as I'm doing today, in a spiritual and experimental sense, we may consider it to at least a suitable prayer for us, that he would enlarge us spiritually. Now, it's often the case that those who fear God feel very much contracted in themselves. They're subject to a certain degree of bondage. They feel very limited. They feel as though all their religion comes so far short of what they would desire with regard to the things of God. They hear others scratch feet, it may be fit somewhat, of such blessings as I have set before you now. And the reaction is, oh, I wish I could go with them in that. I wish that my knowledge and my experience was expanded to that degree, that you might say, I feel to have so little to say. My experience seems so restricted, and I don't seem to break out on the right hand or on the left. And you may feel perhaps that unbelief still seems to bring such bondage upon your spirit that you say, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. In other words, you want the Lord to enlarge you. That's it, isn't it? You want the Lord to enlarge you, and in different ways. For instance, you might feel very much to desire that the Lord would enlarge the measure of your spiritual knowledge. For 'tis of him we feel we little know. That is, compared with what there is to be known. There's more knowledge of Jesus Christ to be known than we have yet attained to. But we wouldn't speak at all disparagingly of the least degree of gracious and spiritual knowledge of the truth. You may feel it to be very little. Perhaps it is. Or perhaps it is not so little as you may think it to be. Whatever that may be, it's very precious, isn't it? The least degree of spiritual knowledge is very precious. But still, we could hardly be content with the least degree of spiritual knowledge. If you read the apostles' prayers for the people of God in his day, and I look upon them as being standard prayers for the church of God, and all believers, you'll find how much he prayed that they might be further instructed, enlarged in knowledge and in understanding. Well, now the Lord can enlarge the measure of our spiritual knowledge. He can teach us more by his good and Holy Spirit. He can give us clearer views in things that perhaps we see now, but very darkly. That is much to be desired. For what the Lord teaches us, that we know. If we get beyond that, we speculate, or we take it from someone else, or we conceive it from our own mind. We're getting beyond our limits. But now what the Lord teaches us, we know. He sets our mind down in that with a certain sense of truth. We don't guess at what the Spirit teaches us. We don't suppose what he gives us to understand. No. Now the Lord enlarged our knowledge, our coast in that particular, for there's so much more to be known. As it was said to the children of Israel, when they were brought into the promised land and were somewhat disposed to rest, content with that degree of possession, I think it was Joshua to stir the people up, said, there is much land to be possessed. There's much land to be possessed. You haven't come into all that which is given to you for your inheritance. So it is spiritually. But perhaps some who may have been long in the way may question something about this and say they seem, instead of knowing more sometimes, to know less. Be it so, be it so. It doesn't follow that the Lord has not enlarged your code. Perhaps you feel sometimes like I do. There was a time when we knew more than the Lord taught us, and had more confidence that the Lord really would justify in us. And we've come down from that somewhat. We've come down from that and have come to feel more than ever that we only know what the Lord teaches, that we only possess what the Lord imparts, and that we only enjoy what he graciously applies. How we need the Lord to enlarge our faith. The disciples prayed, and it was a good prayer for them, and equally good for us. Lord, enlarge our faith. We need our faith enlarged often, with regard to its strength and its comfort. There's more to be believed, brethren. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving of the soul, is a good start. But there's more to be believed. Every opening up of spiritual truth, as it is in Jesus, gives us a further scope, a further range for our faith. There's no end to what there is to be believed in the gospel. In Lord, enlarge my faith. So with love. Look at the apostles' words. And what an enlargement of heart are they expressed. My love to all that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Oh, to have love large enough to embrace all the Lord's dear people, so that they are really his, and to love the Lord more, and to love his truth more, and to love his ways more. Oh Lord, enlarge our love. But I must start on there quickly. It has just come into my mind to make this observation. And that is, let no one feel that they don't know enough, don't believe enough, and that their coast is too narrow spiritually for them to walk professedly in the ways of God, you might well find that the Lord enlarged your heart in doing so. And it may possibly be, considered, I pray you, that you're not enlarged as you might be, because there is nothing yet about free obedience to the Lord's way, will, and the Lord's ways. You would find that his ways have enlargement in them, if you're enabled to walk dependently upon him therein. Now, let me take the next point, which rather joins on to that. And that thine hand might be with me. Ah, that's everything, to have God's hand with us. But oh, what a solemn consideration it is if his hand is against us. Oh, nothing can prosper if the Lord's hand isn't with us in it. No wisdom, no resolution of mind, no perseverance would ever bring that to pass that the Lord does not bring to pass. Oh, it's such a great thing to have his hand with us. We might apply it very briefly this way. Suppose then there's some way set before you, or there's some matter weighing much upon your mind. You feel, well, will the Lord's hand be with me in this? Will his hand be with me? You might quite rightly say, Lord, I don't feel I could step into this matter unless I could be sure thy hand was with me in it. But if thy hand is with me, then I feel I could go through anything. And so you could. For the Lord's hand to be with you means these considerations. First, his hand will be with you to strengthen and sustain. Oh, what strength there is in his everlasting arms. His hand means his power, his faithfulness. Lord, let thine hand be with me to strengthen me. Weak, dependent, poor, fearful, hesitant, as I feel to be. But, oh, if thy hand is with me, Lord, I feel I could venture on anything. Well, no, you may quite feel this, that the Lord's hand will be with you, and his hand will be with me in whatever is according to his holy mind and will. That's sure to be. Still, it's a good prayer. Let thine hand be with me to guide me, to preserve me, to hold me back, or to lead me on, according as it is right in thy sight. Lord, if there's a tendency in me to go too far, then let thine hand be with me to hold me back. If there's a tendency in me to hold back, then let thy hand be with me to guide me on. That thine hand may be with me. Oh, how my mind goes back 44 years nearly, to the time when I was called to undertake the responsibility of this church. And the heavy exercise of my spirit concerning it all, it did so center in this consideration. Lord, will thine hand be with me? Will thine hand be with me? Let thine hand, that thine hand might be with me. Well, one can look back now over 40-odd years and feel encouraged by this thought. Surely the Lord's hand has been with me. And so with us as a church and people, surely the Lord's hand has been with us. Now as we look forward, the prayer is also suitable. For the years increase, and a sense of dependence gets more and more heavy upon one's spirit, and the need for the Lord's hand to be with us seems more than ever. Have we enemies? Possibly David had enemies. Possibly he was engaged in some national conflict. Well, if the Lord's hand was with him, he would be victorious over all his foes. Or if he was called to some labor for the Lord, well, if the Lord's hand was with him, he'll be strengthened to fulfill it. That thine hand may be with me to strengthen, to guide, to uphold me, to bring me through. And then that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Evidently the good man had a tender conscience. He had such a sense of evil, the grieving nature of it, that he had no idea that if the Lord's hand was with him, he had nothing to fear with regard to evil. Oh, keep me from evil. Friends, we do need keeping from evil. Oh, we do. There's evil around. There's evil within us. We're in danger of evil on all hands, and what is more, under all forms, and sometimes under such deceitful guises that unless the Lord keeps us from evil, surely we have not wisdom enough to discern the snare. As one has said, I ever into ruin run. Our hearts are so weak. There's so much in us that it's so ready to fall into evil in some way or other. Keep me from evil. How does the Lord keep from evil? Well, he doesn't keep from evil by keeping us many contact with it. We're always in contact with evil, somewhere or another. And he doesn't keep us from evil by expelling it from our own heart. The plague is there. But he keeps us from evil by his holy and his blessed fear. It is by the fear of the Lord men are kept from evil. If the Lord suffers his holy fear to decline in our consciences, oh, what a dangerous place we are in. What a dangerous place David was in when God suffered his holy fear not to be in active control of his mind. Keep me from evil. And there is a very gracious reason attached to this. Keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. Well, evil grieves the child of God. It grieves his conscience. It grieves his spirit. It distresses his mind. Surely you and I must understand that evil grieves us. At least it does if our conscience is tender, that we should ever sin against him who has done so much for us, that we should sin against his love, sin against his blood, his precious blood, sin against his holy and blessed spirit. Oh, that grieves us. It grieves us to think that we should sin against him. And it not only grieves us, but it grieves us to feel that it grieves him, that it grieves the holy and gracious spirit, and that it grieves the Lord, dear people. Surely you couldn't grieve a child of God and that not grieve you to feel you had grieved him. And God granted him that which he requested. What a beautiful finish. Much in little, God granted him that which he requested. He requested much, and the Lord granted him all. Open thy mouth wide, he said, and I will fill it. Ask, and ye shall receive. And again, ye have not, because ye ask not. It is very certain that David asked according to the will of God, because we know that whatsoever we ask according to his will, we receive that we ask of him. And the Lord granted him that which he requested. the Lord just lift us with his blessing from his house today, and the Lord grant that he will grant to us all that we request of him for his name's sake.